I want to leave with you a few thoughts from the last two verses that we read together, verses 41 and 42, concerning Andrew, who first findeth his own brother Simon, and verse 42 tells us that he brought him to Jesus. I realize that my time is short this evening. You've already been at a number of services today, and, well, the hours are quickly passing by. It'll soon be a new day, and you don't need me to stand here for 40 minutes and preach. I hope to have something for you, and a whole lot less than that. But something, while short, I believe to be vitally important. So I want to look at these two verses and ask ourselves the question, how can I reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because let's face it, when it comes to witnessing, there are two things in particular that are true about us. Firstly, that we desire to see our friends, our relatives, our acquaintances and family saved. But the second thing is equally true, that we feel somewhat at a loss as to how to go about it. How are we going to see those that we care for, those that we love, one to the Lord Jesus Christ? And I can truthfully say that without a doubt, we all, and I include myself, we all have some difficulty in sharing our faith. There are some times that we feel uncomfortable telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe even times embarrassed. It's not that we don't want to share our faith. It's not that we don't have a concern for those that are lost. We do care. And it's because we care that we feel such a sense of guilt sometimes that we don't reach them the way that we ought to. We feel guilty because we can't speak to them the way that we'd like to speak, to warn them the way that we'd like to warn. Sometimes it seems the task is just too great for us. After all, don't you need to be a Bible scholar to lead people to Christ? Do you not need to have at least 2 years missionary training in the Whitfield College before you can evangelize your friends and relatives? No, you don't. And we need to be careful that we don't make the sharing of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ more complicated than what's really necessary. In fact, the Bible goes to great lengths at times to show us people sharing their newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People with absolutely no theological training. And they became some of the greatest witnesses and effective evangelists that we see in the Scriptures. You think of the woman at the well that we read off in John chapter 4. You can maybe turn over the page to that particular chapter. Here's a woman who has just come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. She's realized his identity as being the true Messiah. He's exposed to her sin, and told her of the water of life of which she'll drink. She'll never thirst again. And then we read in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? There's a woman just saved. Just a few moments beforehand. And she becomes an effective witness. Because we're told later on in the chapter that the men of the city come out to see the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the man of Gadara? That demoniac who was delivered from the evil spirits within him, and he desired that he might follow Christ. But the Savior said, no, go back to your own city. And he went back to his own city. And the next time that the Lord Jesus returned to the area, those who had previously told him to leave were willing to receive him because of the witness of a man just saved. That's what we see here in John's Gospel, chapter 1. We find Andrew, a young man who has just come and found the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And his first response to saving faith is to find his brother Peter. And Andrew introduces Peter to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we have a lesson here. We have an example to follow of a very practical and a very simple way to share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would suggest to you that the simplest ways are the best ways. We call it the KISS method. Now, some of you are getting excited about that, but it simply means keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple. We're not talking about the Mormon attitude of flirting to convert. Not at all. Not flirt to convert. Keep it simple. And that's what Andrew does. He keeps it simple. There are two steps that Andrew follows that I believe if we were to take his example, we would be effective witnesses for Christ. Firstly, in verse 41, he sought his brother. That's what it says. He first findeth his brother. The first step Andrew took to lead his brother to the Lord Jesus Christ was to seek him out. And we must take the same step. If we're going to be effective witnesses for Christ, if we're going to be effective in leading people to our Savior, we must first seek them out. He first findeth his own brother Simon. There's no other alternative. We must seek them out. And in order to do that, we need to know where they are. Now that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But you'd be surprised at just how many Christians don't take time to think this part through. They say to you, "Why, you're being silly. There are lost people everywhere." That's certainly true. There are lost people everywhere. Everywhere you go, you'll encounter those that are lost. But that may be the very fact that serves as an obstacle to you reaching them. You can be so overwhelmed by just how many lost people there are in this world that you come to the conclusion, where do I start? Where do I begin to evangelize? How can I reach a world that's just teeming in millions that have never heard? And sometimes we can be so overwhelmed by the task, its vastness and its size, that we give up before we even begin. So overwhelmed by the everybody that we fail to reach anybody. So the question that we need to ask is not where are all the lost people, but where are the lost people that I can reach? We must know where our mission field is. If you're going to catch fish, you must go to the place where the fish are. After all, the Lord Jesus has called us to be fishers of men. We must get to the place that we are familiar with. After all, if you saw a fisherman decked out in all of his fishing gear, his boots, his coat, his hat, his rod, his box of bait, his sandwiches for his lunch and all these things, and there he's standing with his waders on up to his neck in water, but it's in the local swimming pool, he's not going to catch many fish. No, we need to get to where the fish are that we can catch. If we're going to be fishers of men, we need to head to those little pools of fish that we can reach. There's no point aiming for the great shoals out in the vast oceans if you haven't got the boat that will bring you there. No, go to the little stream that runs past your door and throw a line in there for Christ. We must find out where they are. And the second thing we must have is information about them. I would suggest to you that it's best to know them by name. Who are the people that comprise your personal mission field? Those that you know by name. God has given to each and every one of us a mission field. We are missionaries. You might never go to Africa or South America, but God, if He has saved you, has called you to be an evangelist, to reach out to those around you with the message of the gospel. And the very fact that God calls you as an individual, I believe that it is His desire that you use the influence that you have with those around you. You have a circle of friends that perhaps doesn't overlap with the people that I would come in contact with. And it's been well said that we have a circle of friends and relatives and acquaintances, usually that number in around about 40 people. People that we have a certain rapport with. People that we know. And because of that, we are in a very privileged position to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew first findeth his own brother. He knew where he was. He knew all about him. Those are the people you look for. Those that you know by name. Not the strangers, though you can evangelize them also, but those that are closest. We must know where they are. We must know at least a little about them, because we are expected to care for them. It's hard to care sometimes about people that you don't know anything about. But those that we do know, those whose situations we are familiar with, then we can care about those people. Because we understand the gravity of their situation, that without Christ they're lost. And it burdens our heart to think of those that we love, those that are near to us, our friends, that they're without Christ. And they're under the condemnation of God. Condemned people without God and without Christ and without hope, the Scriptures say. And that's why God commands us to go out into all the world. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loves, and therefore so must we. We must care enough to seek them out and to use whatever influence we can to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must know where they are. We must know a little about them. We must care about them. And then finally, we must have something to share with them. Andrew first findeth his own brother, Simon Peter. And then he shared with him what he had found. He says in verse 41, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Andrew shared his own experience of discovering the Messiah. And we must share our experience with Christ, with those that we come in contact with. And I believe that when it comes to your witnessing and to your testifying and to your evangelizing, that it's not a matter of getting into deep and complex and theological studies. I remember going out door-to-door work with a young fellow one time, almost having to pull him away from the door. He started arguing about the 5 points of Calvinism with somebody on their doorstep, somebody unsaved. Oh, he might have won the argument, but he would have lost the soul. We're not called to talk about the deep things of God for the people that are unconverted. Andrew simply shared his own personal experience of how the Lord Jesus Christ met him, met all of his needs. People aren't interested about arguing deep theological truths. The fact of the matter is, those that are outside of Christ usually have a very limited understanding of the Scriptures. They know very little of what the Word of God teaches. I heard about it. One who was seeking to evangelize, witness to someone that he had met in the doors. And he said to him, trying to get a conversation going, you know. He says, "Do you know the Bible?" And the man said, "Well, it's been a while, but I used to love the stories that I heard in Sunday school." And he thought, "Well, this will be a great opportunity." He said, "Well, what was your favorite story?" He says, "It was the Good Samaritan." I'm thinking that if I can only get him to tell the story of the Good Samaritan, I'll point him out the gospel in the message. He said, "Well, what's the story of the Good Samaritan?" The man began, "Well, there was a Good Samaritan. And he was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And there he fell among thorns, and they sprang up and choked him and left him half dead. And he said, 'I will arise.' And he arose and came to a tree and got hung on the limb of the tree. There he hung for 40 days and 40 nights, and the ravens fed him with bread and meat. And then Delilah came along, and with a pair of shears she cut off his hair, and he fell to the stony ground, and said, I will arise. And he arose and came to a wall, and there Jezebel was sitting. And she mocked him, and he said, throw her down again. And they threw her down 70 times 7, and great was the fall thereof. And of the fragments that remained, they picked up 12 baskets full. And whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Thus endeth the lesson of the Good Samaritan. Well, that's what people think sometimes. They have a very limited grasp of the Scriptures. There are people that think that the epistles are the wives of the apostles. There's no point arguing with the Scriptures, with those that are unsaved. Andrew first findeth his own brother, Peter. He said, we have found the Messiah. Don't argue with them. Don't debate with them. Share your own personal experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to argue against that. A life that's been transformed. A life that's been changed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost unarguable. What about the Lord Jesus Christ when he met the blind man? He spat on the ground and put the mud on his eyes and sent him off to wash off the clay. That man went to the synagogue. There he was interrogated by the scribes and the Pharisees as to what happened, who had done this miraculous thing, what did he know about him? The man simply said in John chapter 9 and verse 25, he says, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That was his testimony. He said, I'm not going to argue about your problems with who he is or what he has done, whether it was on the Lord's day or the Sabbath, whether he's broken any of your commandments or not. I'm not going to argue with thee in these points of doctrine, these theological arguments. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. We don't have to argue about theological questions. It's simply our duty to share our own experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ. He sought his brother, and then secondly, he brought him. That's what it says. He sought him, then he brought him. He brought him to Jesus. So when we seek out our unsaved friends, our unsaved family, having sought them out and told them of our own experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ, we must then, having sought them, bring them to the Savior. Bring them to the place where they can have an understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he has done. In Andrew's case, he quite literally brought his brother to the Lord Jesus. He brought him to where the Savior was staying, and he introduced him. We don't have quite that luxury of bringing people literally to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I suggest to you that we can bring them to the Savior. When we bring them to the place where at least they'll have the opportunity to hear the gospel and be touched by the power of God and to be found under the preached word. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our brother announced a series of meetings in the church this week. You have an opportunity to reach them. For the Lord Jesus, to use your influence, bring them to Christ by bringing them to the meetings, that they might hear of the one who saves. You'll not be able to carry them physically to the Lamb of God, but you can bring them to the place where you'll be preached and exalted. And we mustn't fall short here. It's good to seek out those that are lost, but it's vital that we bring them to Christ. Because after all, the object of fishing is to catch fish. The object of fishing is not to bait the hook well. The object of fishing is not to see the fish take the bait. Neither is it the object of fishing to see the fish on the end of the line. The object of fishing is to see the fish in the boat. And it's our business to see people in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are too many today who want to start a fishing society. And they'll have meetings about fishing. And they'll keep an accurate log of the membership. And they'll make sure that the members have paid their dues. And they'll schedule meetings to talk about catching fish and strategies for fishing and rules to follow for fishing and clothes to wear for fishing. But you'll not find the fishermen there. They're the ones that are actually out doing the fishing and not talking about it. I'll finish with this. It's the story of a gamekeeper. He had a job of looking after a lake. And he had a friend that would come back from every fishing trip with his boat laden down with fish. And the gamekeeper was bewildered how his friend was able to catch so many every time that he went out, when there were others that were seasoned fishermen that failed to catch any. And he said to his friend, "How do you catch them all so often and so easily?" He said, "Well, why don't you come out with me the next time?" Sure enough, the day came. They got up good and early, made their way to the lake, pushed out the little boat into the water and began to row out into the middle of the lake. The gamekeeper looked. There was no fishing rod in the boat. There was no box of tackle. There was no bait. All there was a net. A little box. He thought, "This is strange." His friend stopped in the middle of the lake, opened up the box, took out a stick of dynamite, lit it, threw it in the water. A few seconds later, there was an explosion, and all the fish that were stunned began to rise to the surface, and he took the net and began to bring them into the boat. And the gamekeeper was alarmed. He says, "You can't do that. That's not within the rules. Don't you know that I'm responsible for this lake?" The man simply took out another stick of dynamite, lit it, handed it to him. He says, "Are you going to sit there and talk, or are you going to fish?" "Well, are we going to talk about evangelizing, or are we going to evangelize? We've talked about it this evening, those that were sought and brought to the Lord Jesus. But is that as far as it's going to go with you?" He talked about it. But are you going to do it? Are you going to talk about witnessing, or are you going to witness? Are you going to talk about winning your loved ones to Christ, or are you going to actually seek them and bring them? Because if you're only going to talk about it, you'll still be talking this time next year and you'll still have done nothing. Now, are you going to talk, or are you going to fish? Let us be fishermen for Christ, seeking out those within our influence, within our circle of friends and neighbors, and win them for Christ. And may the Lord bless us in our endeavors for Him. We'll bow in prayer. Father in heaven, do bless these few simple thoughts to us this evening. May we realize that it is truly our business to seek the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be enabled by Thy Spirit to bring them to the place, the house of God, where they will hear of the Lord Jesus Christ and come to know Him as their Savior. Do undertake for us, we pray. May we be fishermen for Christ. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.
Just provided, can I encourage everyone to